Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Gary Armeley.
Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning in your homes. Good morning, families. Just for a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to just drop all distractions. You know, it's easy to pop up and get a coffee or get a munchie or whatever. But I want you just to stop for a minute and turn your face to Jesus. Close your eyes and turn your face to Him. I want you to picture the Father walking into the room and just wrapping His arms around you. Many feel the presence of the Lord, the Father, when they get saved. But often when we've been journeying a long time, we don't anymore. And right now, I believe the Father wants to walk into your living room, your family room, wherever you're at, and put such an incredible hug on you. And now, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come and then you would pour, Holy Spirit, pour in each room. Holy Spirit, pour. Let them feel your presence, that you're right there with them. You are their very best friend. And all three love you so deeply. So, Lord, even as I bring this message, I ask that you would make it very real. I ask that you would open up understanding. Lord, I ask that we could see the full impact of this. And I pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. The name of my message is, the Holy Spirit was given to nurture us. We know that the Holy Spirit is power, anointing, the gifts. He forms the fruit of the Spirit in us. He is the one that is at work in us to cause us to become who we were called to be from the foundation of time. God the Father from the beginning set the stage to partner with us as imperfect people, but yet desiring to co-labor with us. He's always, always wanted to work through mankind on this earth. That picture for him has never changed. Adam and Eve were created for that purpose, and his mandate has not changed. They walked with him in the cool of the evening. And their mandate was to expand his kingdom all over the earth. That's still the mandate. Expand the kingdom. Salvation made that available. The fall came, Satan took charge, but Jesus came, died for our sins, our sin nature, bought us with his blood, and gave us resurrection life, and sent us to go and do what Adam and Eve were called to do. Adam and Eve walked with Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. But you and I, church, have Him living inside of us. And it says that we have been seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. So we're sitting in a place of incredible authority in Jesus, who is sitting at the right hand of the Father, the place of highest authority. We're invited into that place through salvation. In John 1, 12 to 13, it says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So, for as many as received him, that part is ours to receive him. That's yours and mine. And if you haven't done that yet and you're watching online, Jesus is the way to freedom. He paid the price in full for your sins. Reach out today and receive him. He'll come into your life and change it forever. So number one to walking like this is salvation. And number two is we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. John 14, 15 to 17. "If you love me, you will obey me. You will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." So salvation is the entrance. Nicodemus was asking, how do I get into this kingdom, right? You got to be born again. John 3:16, "The Father so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Pentecost, you must be filled with the Holy Spirit to receive power from on high. But he's more than that. He's the Spirit of truth. And he loves to empower development in our fellowship with God. We cannot develop our new nature without the Holy Spirit. Religion tells us, work hard. Be more disciplined, fast more, read longer, study harder, serve more. But developing the nature of Jesus Christ in us is the work of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. He will lead us into all truth if we yield and submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will be with us forever. As I was sitting preparing this, and this has been sitting in my, I want to say, stew pot for about 2 weeks. And I wasn't quite sure how I was going to get this out. But as time goes on, I realize that we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the triune God. And each of them indwell us because the Spirit is in us. Are we drawing on them the way we're supposed to? Or are the Father and Son sitting in heaven, unreachable, untouchable, and the Holy Spirit is in us, but we forget that he's there most of the time? I've got lots of questions these days. Because I was praying for someone. And before I began to pray, the Lord spoke to me. He said, "I want you to invite all three members of the Godhead into the room. I want you to invite all three of us into your room." And it was virtual. You know, I always invite the Holy Spirit to come. But I found myself praying, "Father, would you come? Would you come and would you give this person, this desperate person, such a hug, a daddy's hug that they've not known?" And this was right on the outset. And then, "Jesus, would you come as the heavenly bridegroom?" And even as I begin to minister by the Spirit to this person, "Holy Jesus, would you speak words of love into her ears? And Holy Spirit, would you pour on her your incredible anointing so she can receive?" And it was just incredibly beautiful as all three ministered to this very hurting person. They want to be involved. They need to be involved. What an incredible gift we have received with our salvation. Having said all that, I want to focus a little bit on love today. Because the Godhead is filled with love. Last week, Pastor Jay referred to John 17, which is really the Lord's Prayer. We always make it, you know, the Our Father. But it's John 17 that is the Lord's Prayer. Jesus' cry was that we would all be one, even as they are. There's a desperate need in this hour for us to know God's kind of love. And it needs to be released in the body of Christ as never before. And I pray even as I preach that it's raining down in your living room. If the world does not see the Father's incredible love manifest through us, how will they know? It's only the Father's kind of love that can bring unity to the body of Christ. Boy, for how many years have we tried and splintered and splintered and splintered? And the enemy just laughs and, you know, mocks us. And yet, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have never splintered. They've always been in unity. They will always be in unity. And we're in them. So if they are in us and we are in them and Pastor Jay is in them and they are in him and Pastor Rod is in them and they are in him, then are we not supposed to be in unity if the same people are in each of us? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Is there not a way we can walk? God is love. 1 Corinthians 13 gives us a definition of what that love is. It's been touched on before, but I just want to read it. I always marvel that it's read at weddings because I think I should read it every morning. Just as a strong reminder, this is what it looks like. Because they inside of me, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this is what it looks like for them, and this is how they walk. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. Always perseveres. Love never fails. Love never fails. Love never fails. And now these three things remain, verse 13, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. These three will move into eternity with us, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest is love. What will happen if the body of Christ, to the body of Christ, if it would begin to walk in the love that Jesus walked? If we got a revelation of who it is that dwells inside of us that we can draw on at any moment as we stand in front of a person we may be struggling with horribly who's right in our face. But if we could step back into that space with the Lord, just for a moment say, Lord, how do I treat this person? What do I do? Lord, what do you want? Lord, this is about your kingdom, be it believer or unbeliever. What do you want in this moment, Lord? The Holy Spirit's been given to bring us to a place to understand God's kind of love. And, you know, when the church in Acts first began to move out, they were all Jewish believers. And they had nothing to do with the Gentiles. But there was a man, as we know, by the name of Cornelius, and he was a godly man, a God-fearing man, and he'd been praying, and he had a vision of Peter praying on a rooftop in Joppa. And so he sent servants to get Peter to bring him to the house. Meanwhile, Peter is getting a vision of a net coming down with all kinds of unclean things in it that they, as Jewish people, were forbidden to eat under the law. And it keeps going back up, and the Lord keeps saying to him, "Peter, eat." And he said, "Not so, Lord." It was against everything in his core. But it keeps coming several times, and then there's the knock on the door, and the Holy Spirit speaks to him and says, the servants of Cornelius are there. I'm just giving a tiny little part of it so you understand. Peter goes to Cornelius' house, and Cornelius has gathered as many people as he can. And this incredible story unfolds where Peter preaches to them. I'm sure in his head on the way there, he's going, "What am I doing? I don't have anything to do with Gentiles." And yet he's compelled by the Holy Spirit to go to a place that God wants the people touched at and the Gentiles to come in. And it says in verse 42, "And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to judge, to be judge of the living and the dead. To him and all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believes in him will receive remission or forgiveness of sins." While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. Whoever would believe in Jesus would receive forgiveness of sins, and the Holy Spirit fell. The meaning of the word "fell" here, I can't say it, but it means love hug. A love hug came into the room. Isn't that awesome? The Holy Spirit gave them a love hug from the Father, and they believed and were baptized. For so long, and I believe God's still unraveling this in our heads, that we have an austere Father up there who really is harsh. And the whole aspect that God is good, that God loves us, you know, we can picture Jesus like that. But the Father, the Old Testament, we see harsh pictures because we don't know the whole story. Because once you start understanding more, you go, "Oh my gosh, I didn't see that." You know, you see a whole different aspect of what's going on. But this picture of a God who would bring disease, a God who would cripple a person, a God who would cause someone to suffer incredibly so that they would turn to him, is a picture from the pit of hell. It's come to disqualify God, to paint such an ugly picture of him. And I want to raise that today. Because here the Father is trying to love hug us constantly. But we still want to blame when something goes wrong and turn to our old ways, our old religious thinking. And in this hour, God wants it all out. He wants us to have such an incredible level of love in us, because all three dwell within us and they are perfect love, that we can't quit, that we have to stop turning on one another, even if we have differences. I got news yesterday that there was problems over all this COVID stuff at the Lazarus Outreach of all people, places, where people are coming in broken and hurting and getting help. One person comes in, sows discord and affects others. So they can't receive anymore. Now they're divided. "I'm not going to wear a mask if I come in here." Well, then you can't come in here, because that's the rules right now. And I think, Lord, it's got to stop. They were coming in. They were getting healed. They were getting set free. And it's the enemy. When will we open our eyes to see what the truth behind all of this is? And that's not my topic. But God is love. Salvation is an incredible gift that we've received. When we partner with God in the same unity, love, and oneness they have for one another, we will become peaceful and restful because God's heart is within us. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are working with our inner man so that we're not overcome by the world situation that's all around us. They are working within us to bring us peace. But we have to understand what we've been given. In the last 1.5 years during this pandemic that we've been isolated and it's brought such turmoil, the pressure has revealed cracks in our foundations. And it would be one thing if it remained in the church and we worked it out here in the church. But it's been made visible to the whole world, and that is the enemy's intent. And I believe it's time for the true church to arise, who so are in love with the Father that they can love people. How does a Mother Teresa go to a place like Calcutta? How does a woman go to love on people that are so broken, so sick, so dirty, living in gutters, going around pulling the worst of the worst out of ditches and bringing them back to where she has a facility and just loving on them to see them become whole? How does one do that? How does one get such love for humanity? Like Heidi Baker, who walks down a dusty road every day for one, because that's the mandate, and can pick up an old woman that has worms coming out of her body and hold her and love her to see her get healed? How does one do that unless you've got such an infusion of God's love and you see that person that God wants? See them saved and get healed. And I say, God, if it's available to one like her, then Lord, it's available to us. She's so flooded with the love of the Father. I've met her. I think, Lord, I want it. And yet she prophesies over me, you're so filled with love. And I'm thinking, oh boy, I got a long way to go yet. Our lack of love and the focus on our rights in this season, which by the way comes from a political spirit, it has so tainted the church. But in the middle of all this, I believe there is a group of people arising who've been in front of the Lord in this season seeking his face. And who are saying, no, there's a different way. And I want to find that way and I'm going to step into that way. And Lord, it's in you. It's in the oneness with the Godhead. Because Jesus was completely, he was man, but completely led by the Holy Spirit. And so can we be. Now the Father has put the Spirit of Jesus in us, and the work of the Holy Spirit is to keep us in the place where we continually walk with Jesus. Here at Antioch, there's been a whole lot of focus in this last 1.5 years about abiding in his presence. It's crucial that we spend prime time with the Lord daily. So we become aware of his presence. The Holy Spirit wants to bring us the real truth about our new man in Christ, which is meant to resonate through every life situation that we come into that day. We don't know, Pastor Rod, what's going to befall us even today. But I do know if I'm very aware of him and I spend time with him first thing in the morning, he already knows and he gives me keys before the day ever starts. So that when it happens, I can stop and draw on what he said. This is one of the scriptures that the Lord has highlighted to me probably in the last 6 months. And it's out of Lamentations 3, 21 to 24. This I recall to my mind, because that's where it works, is in my mind. Okay? Therefore, I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. You know, sometimes I get such an onslaught of different opinions about what is going on. Going on in Israel, going on in the world, going on in our government. I mean, you're facing the same thing. This opinion, that opinion. And at a given point, it's like, I don't want to hear anymore. I don't want to hear anymore because I live in the kingdom of God. And I want to stay and keep my mind focused on that place of peace because I have hope in him that he has our good. He has the good of the world and he will work it out. His mercies are there for us. And his compassion isn't going to fail. The Lord is my portion, and so that's where I have to go back to. Do I question some things? Of course. But I don't want them getting into my spirit man. I don't want them getting into this place that is my secret place where the kingdom of heaven is. I don't want it getting in there. I don't want it getting into the place where I worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I don't want it in my secret place. And that's where it wants to get. And so I say, no, I am guarding this place. I am guarding my intimate relationship with the Lord. And the enemy and the political spirit is not going to come in there to destroy that incredible intimacy that I live in. And it's been a battle. And I'm not in denial. But I know that only by staying in this place with him can I do the level of intercessory prayer that I need to do. And in this place, I can live in rest. We are living in the kingdom now, not in the millennial. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He brought it. He opened up the heavens were opened at his baptism, and he came in. The Holy Spirit came in to Jesus. But then he went out and he began to speak, and he says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Wherever he walked, he released the Father's kingdom over those people. He multiplied the food. He raised the sick, raised the dead. He healed the sick, right? It's at hand, and he didn't take it back up with him. We're to live in the kingdom. And I wrote down on my notes, you know, when you come to a new country, which I did from Holland as a 9-year-old, you know nothing about that country. You don't know its culture. You don't know its customs, right? You don't know the language. You don't know all the food they have. I remember went to a friend's, Dutch friend's house, and they gave me grapefruit for breakfast. I'd never had a grapefruit in my life. That's sour grapefruit, you know. We had oranges, not grapefruits. And it was just different in Canada. And so we, as a family, had to learn the culture of this nation. We had to learn the language of this nation. We had to learn what we could do and not do in this nation. Well, we have entered the kingdom of heaven, the Father's kingdom. And we've got to learn the ways and the language of that kingdom, that nation. Our citizenship is now of that nation, and we have to learn its ways. And part of what we have to learn, church, is that we are absolutely unconditionally loved, perfectly loved. And it most times goes over our heads when we hear it. But ask the Holy Spirit to let you begin to receive that. For when things are receive it so it forms so deeply inside of us so that when you are faced with something, that's what percolates to the top. I'm unconditionally loved. Daddy, give me a love hug right now by your Holy Spirit. We need to abide as disciples. We've heard a lot about that. In John 17, you're going to keep hearing me go into that. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I'm not teaching heresy here. This is the word. You gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Understanding the oneness we have with Jesus is a huge missing part. And that's what I'm trying to, maybe in my own way, talk about a little bit this morning. The three have come to dwell in us. They are one with us, and we are one with them. We're blood-bought children, and we need to walk habitually with them. 2 Corinthians 5, 7-19. There, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So everything about us needs to be to reconcile people to Jesus, to bring oneness, to draw people to Jesus. To draw them to the one that loves them perfectly. Colossians 3:10. Now that you have embraced new creation life as the true reality, lay aside your old Adam self with its masquerades and disguise. For your new creation life is continually being renewed into the likeness of the one who created you, giving you the full revelation of God. This is the Passion Translation. Your new creation life is continually being renewed into the likeness of the one who created you. So it's an ongoing process, day by day, moment by moment. As you have heard us speak so many times, the new covenant in Christ restores the original plan of Genesis. Let us make man in our image and according to our likeness. That's what's happening. We're being restored to what he intended in the first place, except on a much higher level, because now, by the Holy Spirit, they dwell in us. Ephesians 4:24 says, put off the old man and put on the new. So as I walk before the Lord and the Holy Spirit says, that is not representing Jesus right now. And if we would listen, he talks to us. You know, when I get irritated at home, I get checked very quickly. I don't always listen. I'm going to be truthful. I get frustrated. But I'm learning I got to step back because I say, Lord, even in this situation, the season of my life that I'm living in, you are still working inside of me to bring out the very best, and you wouldn't let this be. I mean, you could heal it instantly, right? But you're doing something inside of me that will be of eternal worth as you form in me long-suffering and a level of love I've not known, a compassion I've not known, a patience I've not known. There would be no opportunity to learn that if I wasn't in this situation. And sometimes I complain. I say, God, don't let me complain. Let me live this to the fullest, that you can do all that you need to do. You know, David understood what walking in this level of presence was. Look at Psalm 42:1. Like, he lived Old Testament, but he lived in our dispensation under the Old Testament. He says, Psalm 42:1, we know it as the deer pants after the water, Brooks. I long to drink of you, O God, drinking deeply from the streams of pleasure flowing from your presence. My longings overwhelm me for more of you. My soul thirsts, it pants, and it longs for the living God. I want to come and see the face of God. I mean, he's being chased down, and this is what he's crying out. He states, yet all day long, God's promises of love pour over me. Through the night, I sing his songs, for my prayer to God has become my life. This is King David. My prayer to God has become my life. Psalm 27, he cries out that he always wants to behold the beauty of the Lord. He always wants to dwell within the house of the Lord. He wants to behold his beauty. And in the middle of that, this man is being transformed. Why would Jesus say he's the son of David? Jesus, son of David. There was something so powerful about this man, this king of Israel, that Jesus' eyes were on him, because he had found that way to commune with the loving Father. And he can be pouring out his heart about, oh, my soul, why are you downcast? And then flip around and say, but my God, but you, my face is to you. And so abiding is part of what develops the nature in us. The spirit of truth comes to us in our abiding. He begins to nurture us of things that are acceptable and not acceptable. And it's always in such a loving way. All of a sudden, there's a scripture. It's like, oh, I'm not like that. And it's not negative. There's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we're in Christ Jesus. It's just nurturing us to become more like Jesus. So we pour that out so that his presence is so strong on us when we go out, that people come into that God zone and they can turn their hearts to Jesus. Romans 6:4-6, these are scriptures you know. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Not the old. Not the old. Not trying to fix the old, resurrect the old. The old's dead. It was buried. We've got to start believing that, Pastor Rod, that old, old man is gone. I can't fix it. He's dead. He stinks. If we've been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. We've come out of the grave with him in resurrection life. We're a new prototype on the earth. The world's got to start seeing this prototype that's so filled with love, it can't bear to be separated from one another. Romans 7:6, but now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we would serve in the newness of the Spirit. We've got to serve in the newness of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's been given to us to cause us to mature in him. In Jesus, we now have an identity in his relationship with his Father. So the three in one live within us. The Father speaks over Jesus. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then later on, we hear that we're accepted in the beloved. And so this incredible Jesus, this wonderful Father, have this exchange going on between them of love. This is my beloved Son, the Father says, when Jesus gets water baptized and then filled with Spirit. This is my beloved Son. He's doing what I asked him to do. But now we're in Jesus. So now when the Father says, this is my beloved Son, this is my beloved sons, and these are my beloved daughters, because we're all in there. We are so loved by them. If we could grasp that, it would begin to transform us incredibly. We have a relationship based on unconditional love and acceptance in his beloved Son. That Father is not going to remove that. That's a gift. So often the devil comes along and he tells us how bad we are, how much we've missed it, how much we've failed. But if we would let the truth of these scriptures go deep into our hearts, we would recognize that because of Jesus, we are constantly, forever, unconditionally loved by our Father. And if we would step back into that position and say, Lord, I didn't represent you well. Please forgive me. Instantly, we're back into that place. We carry the Father's covenantal DNA. We're family. We stand in Jesus Christ with the Father, and that gives us value in the eyes of the Father. We are one with Father God, and God is love. So how can we be one with him and not carry that love into the world? How can we be one with him and not give that away? Years ago, I had an experience which unraveled me. And I think I've shared it before, but it was my first encounter with Watchmen. Pastor Jay was with me, actually. And they didn't know me. I was invited through some people I had met and then invited by Damien himself. And they were at a camp above Aurelia. And we went, and as we walked in, I walked into this atmosphere of family like I have never, ever experienced. And it was genuine. It wasn't phony. The core group that had been together for many years, that had walked through reconciliation with First Nations, for reconciliation with Israel, reconciliation with the French, reconciliation with the British. I mean, they had gone through Canada, and they had worked together to bring healing to our nation. And as I walked into that group and they came up to me and they gave me a hug, it was such a hug of love. I was uncomfortable. I never experienced that in my whole life. Not in any church, not in any conference, not anywhere. It was the tangible love of the Father just coming out of these people into my heart. One after another, I welcomed into this group. I didn't know them. I didn't know their names. But they knew me by the Spirit, and they accepted me, and they loved on me. Knew nothing about me, really. But it was a love factor that all I can say is it unraveled me. And when I think about it, I want to weep. Because I've found it nowhere else. Ever. That's the only place I've ever experienced it. And when I meet one or two of them, it's still there. Have they had difficulties? Of course. Difficulties they've had to work out. But I'll tell you, that's what the Father's after. I just recently watched David Damian and some of the original leaders on a Zoom call where there was some reconciliation that had to happen. And I watched as they poured love into one another and genuine forgiveness and acceptance. And I thought, Lord, this is what the kingdom looks like. How can they not walk together after what just happened? That wasn't phony. That wasn't made up. It wasn't planned. It happened because one man opened the door and let it in. One man who was listening to the Holy Spirit, humble yourself and say this. And the love of the Father flooded into all of them. Lord, help us to be restored. His kingdom is filled with love, peace, joy, kindness, compassion, gentleness. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit one to work all that into us. Scripture states, God will continually revitalize you, implanting you within you the passion to what pleases him. Philippians 2:13. We have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us. For we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. God is at work in us, and what he has prepared for us will be fulfilled. His heart for us is to be successful and to prosper in the kingdom. He desires to flow through us as never before. When we hear about good works, it's easy for us to mentally click back to the way we used to do it. I got to work harder. I got to pray harder. God must want me to do all these things. In the world, we have to work hard to earn a reward. I mean, you work hard, you get a promotion. You get better paycheck. You get better position. But the kingdom is the opposite. In the kingdom, we receive our identity with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit right from the beginning when we're born again. We receive everything as a gift that cannot be earned. We step into a place of victory immediately. Since the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all one in Christ, we are put into the same unity of oneness. It's amazing. John 17:21, I'm going to read it out of Passion. I pray for them all to be joined together as one, even as you and I, Father, are joined together as one. I pray for them to become one with us, so that the world will recognize that you sent me. For the very glory you have given to me, I have given them. We don't have to fight for that glory. It's already on us, church. It's already on us. We just have to give it a chance to manifest. So that they will be joined together as one and experience the same unity that we enjoy. You live fully in me, and now I live fully in them. Did you hear that? Jesus is saying, you live fully in me. And now Jesus lives fully in us, so that they will experience perfect unity, and the world will be convinced that you've sent me. For they will see that you love each one of them with the same passionate love that you have for me. I'm going to close with this scripture from Ephesians. And again, it's out of the Passion because it's so phenomenal when you read it. May God Himself, the Heavenly Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, release grace over you and impart total well-being into your lives. Please just receive this. Everything heaven contains has already been lavished upon us or you as a love gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus, all because He sees us wrapped into Christ. This is why we celebrate Him with all our hearts, and He has chosen us to be His very own, joining us to Himself even before He laid the foundations of the universe. Because of His great love, He ordained us as one with Christ from the beginning, so that we would be seen as holy in His eyes with an unstained innocence. For it was always in His perfect plan to adopt us as His delightful children, so that His tremendous grace that cascades over us would bring Him glory. For the same love He has for His beloved one, Jesus, He has for us. Since we are now joined to Christ, we have been given the treasures of salvation by His blood, the total cancellation of all our sins, all because of the cascading riches of His grace. This superabundant grace is already powerfully working in us and flooding into every part of our being, releasing within us all forms of wisdom and practical understanding. Lord, I ask today that You would embed this truth in our hearts. It has to become real for us. Lord, this is building our inner house on the solid rock, so that when the waves of adversity, the waves of difficulties come, we will not be moved, because we know we are perfectly loved. And we can just turn our face to our Father and say, Daddy, fill me with Your love right now. I need a hug. No more will the lies of the enemy be able to sway us from the fact that God is love. And because He is in us, we are love too. As we focus our new creation in Christ and continue to gaze on the life of Jesus and how He walked on the earth, we will begin to walk as He did. His glory is upon us. Let's reveal to one another and to the church the true Father who loves us so much. I pray today that you would be covered in this incredible love. And I fully believe that as we begin to grasp a hold of this love hug of the Holy Spirit, which when we feel that warmth coming all over us or we begin to weep, that's a love hug of the Holy Spirit. When we begin to recognize it and recognize how perfectly are loved, I believe that the three of them living inside of us by the Holy Spirit would heal depression. They will heal the pains and abuses that we need healed. I know we go to counseling. I know we do all of that, but I also know that there's a higher way, and that's actually in them, if we have faith to reach into it, because we're new creations. So church, I just challenge you, find some key scriptures for the situation you're in. Start your day off in the morning with your mind focused on them. Pray them into your spirit man. And then begin to look into the face of Jesus. Begin to worship Him. Begin to love on Him. Invite all three to come into the room. They will. Because you're in them. And they are in you. And so I bless you today. Have a wonderful day. Spend it in the presence of the Lord, whatever you're doing. And be healed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.